Psalm 4. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Selah. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Light up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. This is the word of the living God. There's a lot of attention given to the study of the Psalms, and those who write on it seem to think there are various reasons that Psalm 4 appears here in this place. Some think it's a cry for David to have his reputation that's being attacked, his reputation restored. And others think that it's for other reasons. I think the simple answer is that this is where the editor placed this psalm because it's right next to Psalm 3, which was also a psalm, which is a psalm of prayer. And this is a psalm that is given in which David finds his rest, his strength, and his safety in God alone. As we open the psalm, and it begins in what is our first verse, it's a rather strange address to God. He says, answer me, God, when I call on you. You know, it's almost a demanding kind of statement. It's a cry of distress. It's an urgent plea for the Lord to hear his prayer. But what's behind that plea? Why does he pray that God will not only hear his prayer, but that he will answer him in his distress? He needs relief, yes. If those are correct who suggest that this psalm is placed here because it is next to Psalm 3, which is completely given over to this time in which David is fleeing from his son Absalom. And when we looked at Psalm 3, we saw that everyone was against David. He was out on his own. He had to run from the palace. You know, they were after him. They were going to kill him. Absalom was going to kill his father David. And so David is on the run. I think that Psalm 4 is also a psalm that's involved in that period of time in which David is on the run from his son Absalom. It's a cry for distress from this relief. The psalmist is not coming to God, however, and saying, look at all of the good things I've done, God, and how come I've got to go through this trouble? My son Absalom is trying to take over the kingdom. He's got a whole army with him. They all support him. And that Shimei guy, who as I was leaving Jerusalem and fleeing for my life, cursed me in the name of God. Do we hear David saying that? No. We don't hear him saying, I'm a really pretty good guy. Why is this all happening to me? He calls out upon the name of the righteous God. The foundation for David's prayer is not what David did, but what God is and who God is as the righteous one. He remembers the righteousness of God. That's the foundation for his prayer. The foundation for his prayer is the written word of God, that which declares that God is righteous, holy, and true. And the psalmist is saying, I'm fighting for your righteous cause because you have placed me here. You have called me as your king. I am the one that you have appointed, and he is looking to be vindicated by God despite what all of his enemies, Absalom, Shimei, the army, and so on, no matter what they're doing. They're trying to kill David. They're following him. They're looking for him. And David is running. He's probably hiding in a cave. But despite that, he wants to be vindicated by God. Not because David was something, but because God is righteous. And because in the righteousness of God, God had called David to be the king over Israel, the anointed one, the one who would lead the people in the way of the Lord. That was what a king did. And you can read that in the book of Deuteronomy. When a king would come to the place of being appointed as king in Israel, one of the things he would have to do would have to write for himself a copy of the law of God. Now, it's not that just that you write it, you know, grab it, run it down to Kinko's, give me a copy, you know. It was that he would write it and that he would meditate upon it. And that as he wrote it, it would become a part of his heart. And that as he became the king who would be the leader of the people of God, he would have to be a righteous king. And how would he be righteous without knowing what righteousness is? He found what righteousness is by looking to what? The Word of God. And as he took that word and as he wrote it, as he studied it, as he prayed over it, that was the foundation for the king to be the leader of God's people. And that's what David was. He's praying for God, the righteous one, to come to him in his covenant mercy and his grace based upon one thing and one thing alone, that he knew, David knew, he belonged to the Lord. Now, I often have found that to be the case with believers, particularly believers that are facing death many times. And as I would visit with those who are very, very ill, facing death, many, many times we would talk about the things that were close to them, that were on their hearts, and what was precious to them. And you know, the closer a believer got to the point of dying, it would always be an expression from that individual of the fact that he knew that he belonged to the Lord. And usually in the old Reformed Church, that usually came about because we knew our old Heidelberg Catechism. You know, I know that I belong, what? Body and soul, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm His. He has bought me. He has shed His blood for me. He has given me His mercy and His grace. And now I'm about to die, and guess what? I'm going home to be with Him, because He is my Lord and He is my God. That's what I hear David saying in this verse when he says, "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." David knew how to pray. That's what I want you to see in this psalm and in the psalm previous. David knew how to pray. Do you know how to pray? Well, something comes up. Yeah, I got to go to the hospital and I got all these physical problems. And, you know, pray that I get over this, broken that, and fix up the other part, and so on and so forth. And that's all fine and good that we pray for that, but do we pray for God's glory in it? Do we pray that in the midst of what we're going through, that God will be glorified in it? I was reminded of this again as somebody talked about Johnny Erickson. Many of you know that name. She was the gal that at 18 years old dove off into the pool and hit the bottom of the pool, and she's completely paralyzed and has been paralyzed now for some 55 years. And Johnny Erickson has always said in recent years, as she's had in ministry to those that are disabled, that she glorifies God in the way in which God has called her to live in this paralysis. Well, I'm sure that they prayed at the beginning for healing. It never came. But what did come was God is glorified. And she has a worldwide ministry to people that are in need. I remember one time in church in Dyer, Indiana, where my brother worked for a while, that there was a man there who was collecting walkers, thank you, walkers and all kinds of things like that for people that need. They would send them over to Johnny Erickson's place. They had a ministry center. Those things would be torn apart, put back together, and look brand new. And then they would be brought out to people that needed them and given to people all throughout the world, wherever those needs were. You know, when you pray for God's glory, God does things. And that's what David is praying for. He's praying for the glory of God. Hear my prayer. And then he speaks to those that are against him. In verse 2, immediately he says, "O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him." What David is saying here is a rebuke to these leaders and to those that are rejecting God. These enemies that are headed by his son took enormous pleasure in what they were doing. They couldn't wait to put their hands on David's neck and snap it. They wanted to take away the glorious kingdom of God from David, and they wanted to reign in his place. There was no glory in what they were doing, David says. It was only shame. And the thing that they needed to know was that it was such because God had ordained David to reign. David had been ordained by God to be the king of Israel, and his kingdom would not end until God said so. And David was resting in God's promise, and he was warning these sons of men, these people who were the enemies of God. He was warning them about their lies, about the falsehoods through which they would forward their cause. He was telling them about the fact that God had called him to be king. God had chosen him because God had called David, and God had called David for his own purpose. And he says, "God will hear my prayer." Now, think of that for a moment. He's telling his enemies who are trying to kill him that not only are they doing things that are filled with lies, but God has set him as king, and the Lord hears me when I call to him. Now, he's not patting himself on the back. He's simply stating covenantal fact. I have to say it that way, covenantal fact. Because in the covenant that God had made with David, God had ordained David to be king. And because David was ordained of God to be king, he knew that God would hear his prayer. And David's comfort is found in that truth. David knew that the enemies would not be heard by God. In other words, God will hear my prayer, but God will not hear your prayer, is what he is telling his enemies. Why can he say that? Because God only hears the prayers of those who are righteous in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. God hears David because David is the one who in God's grace and in his covenant mercy is called to be David, God's servant, God's king over Israel. And he is one that is going to serve in that capacity. What we need to hear in this passage is that God not only hears David's prayer, God hears your prayer. How do you pray? The writer of Proverbs says in chapter 15, "The Lord hears the prayer of the righteous." God hears our prayer because we are righteous in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. God does not hear those who refuse to submit to his son. He pays them no mind, no attention. You know, you've heard that old saying, God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. You know what's wrong with that? Which one does he send to hell? Both of them. Unless and until they are in Jesus Christ. Now, when you're in Jesus Christ, you are what Proverbs 15 says, the righteous. You're in Christ. So that when I was once a sinner, now I'm in Christ. And when I'm in Christ, I have His righteousness, not my own. When I'm in Christ, I'm forgiven of my sin because He died on the cross and bore its penalty for my sin. He is the one in whom we must rest. And that's why Paul can say these things when he speaks to us in Ephesians chapter 4. He goes on and on in Ephesians chapter 4. If you turn there, it's in verse 22 he starts. And he talks about how to live as a believer in Jesus Christ. He says, put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through its deceitful desires. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And then he goes on from there and he says, put away falsehood. Speak the truth in love with your neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your anger. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his hands so he may have something to share in need. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is good for building up as fits the occasion and may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And he closes by saying, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander, what? Let it just be put away from you, along with all malice. And then he says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. You see, when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you can put away the old self. And Paul uses it in a language, it's very simple. It's like taking off your coat, put it off, and then he says, and put on the new. It's as simple as that in the language that he uses. But you put on what's in Jesus Christ. That's righteousness, that's holiness, that's the glory of God that's experienced by those who know and trust in Jesus Christ. That's what David is saying here in these words. He says, you are full of lies, but know that God hears my prayer. And then he goes on to conclude the psalm, beginning at verse 6, going to the end of the psalm, and speaks of his security in God. He knows the peace that comes from the presence of God. He knows that even in the face of taunting enemies and being in exile from the tabernacle, remember when he ran away from the place where God's presence was made known among the people of Israel in the tabernacle, or in the place where the tabernacle eventually would stand. But how did David know peace when he left all of that behind? He knew peace because he knew God was present. And that's what he says to these. He says, you have to live the right way. You have to do what God says. Verse 5, offer right sacrifices. Put your trust in the Lord. There are many who will say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. Are those words familiar? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. That's the same language that comes out of Numbers chapter 6, which is the blessing of God upon the people. Let the countenance of the Lord and his face be turned toward his people. Incidentally, in that benediction, if you listen to it, it mentions both grace and peace. And what are the things that God gives his people? He gives them grace, and he gives them peace by his presence with them. Whoever God looks upon, whoever God shows his pleasure to, whoever God comes to in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, these are the ones that will be blessed of the Lord. And he concludes the psalm by saying, for thou, O Lord, will make me dwell in safety. Where is David at this point when he says the Lord will let him dwell in safety? He's on the run. He's got people trying to track his footsteps, an army that is dispatched to try and find him and kill him, a son who hates his father so much that he wants to execute him and take the throne. Where is David? Perhaps he's in a cave. Perhaps he's hiding under a rock. We don't know where. But what is he doing? In peace, he says, I will both lie down and sleep. You know, when things come to you in your life and in your family and difficult things come to us, one of the first things that happens, I think it's pretty true for most of us, is we start to lose sleep. Maybe it's a son or a daughter, or maybe it's a job situation. All kinds of things come into our lives. And we don't lay down and just rest and drift off into sleep, because what are we doing? Our mind is going at 100 zillion miles an hour about what? About the problem that we're going through, about the struggle. Sometimes we even ask ourselves, will this ever end? What's David saying? Answer me, O God, when I call. Be gracious and hear my prayer. And he says, in peace, I will both lie down and sleep. He reflects upon the fact, John Calvin says, he reflects with satisfaction on the guardianship of God. God's the guardian. What's a guardian? He's the one that keeps us. That guardianship is so sufficient, he can sleep not less securely under it than if he had many guards stationed all around him or was defended on every side by many companions. David didn't even need to post a guard, because David knew that God was on guard. God is in control. God is sovereign, righteous, and holy. God and God alone makes David, and he makes you, me and me, able to say, we can dwell in safety. We can be secure. Secure in the promises of God. Now that's a prayer that we ought to be able to pray as well, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're secure in him. We belong to him, body and soul, both now and forever. And his grace and his peace will always be there for his people. Nothing will harm you. If God prevents it, he can prevent anything. He can do anything. God will preserve you until the last moment that he has ordained for you to be upon this earth. And then he will simply send forth his angels to gently take you home. May we rest in that infinite, matchless grace. Amen.